Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Turin, Italy, where Juventus Football Club has history on its side later Tuesday evening, when it plays visiting AS Monaco in the decisive second leg of a UEFA Champions League semifinal. Juventus beat Monaco last week 2-0 in the first leg, getting two goals from Argentine striker Gonzalo Higuain. Only two clubs, Ajax Amsterdam in 1996 and Inter Milan in 2011, have ever won a knockout tie in the UEFA Champions League competition after losing at home in the first leg. In both cases, though, they had only one goal to make up. Monaco's Portuguese head coach, Leonardo Jardim, says it's clear Juventus has put his club in a tough spot, and Monaco, in his words, will need to do something extra this evening. Atletico Madrid is also in a tough spot as it prepares to host city rival Real Madrid Wednesday in the other UEFA Champions League semifinal. Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat trick in the first leg last week to give defending champion Real Madrid bidding for a record-extending 12th European title, a 3-0 victory. Meanwhile, the major European football leagues are in the final few weeks of their seasons. In Belgium, league play wraps up May 21st in top-tier First Division A. After 30 matches, first-place Anderlecht currently has 61 points, 2 points more than Club Bruges. Reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori caught up with one of Anderlecht's African players. Here's Kwabena.
Frank Achampon is a Ghanaian professional who plays for Racing Sporting Club Anderlecht. He expressed his willingness to win the Jupiler Belgium League and qualify into the next European Champions League.
First of all, I just thank God for the entire season. We're not even finished, but I think we have everything in our hands to be the champions. Sometimes it's very difficult. We had a very difficult moment in the beginning of the season, but thank God I think we have everything in our hands. We just need one more win and everything is over. But then when it's getting to the end, it's getting more harder. So I think we just have to give more than we give before and just pray hard and work hard. And I think by so doing, we can be the champions of Belgium even this season.
It was disappointing for you during the last Champions League. You were out and you are now preparing for another stint. How are you focused?
I think for the European competition, everybody knows how, even though we play with young players, but I think we have a bit of experience. Even since I came to Anderlecht, I've played twice the Champions League and also twice the Europa League. So I think it's not something different. Though I think what is more important to be qualified to the Champions League, to be the champion of Belgium. So we just hope and we get a good result in Bruges in the next game, and the rest will come.
Africans and Ghanaian fans are watching you, always weekends playing your games, and the hope is to play for the Champions League and winning the trophy of the Belgium League. You played twice in the Champions League and as a winner of the Jupiler League. How proud are you to play when your Ghanaian fans are watching you on the television?
Yeah, I can never leave them out because I think it's their prayers and their support that is pushing me. Sometimes we have football moments, teams are not getting well, but you have friends, you have family, you have loved ones, supporters who, it doesn't matter if they are Ghanaians or even the citizens of Belgium, they keep supporting us. As you said, today's game was very difficult, but the supporters, they didn't leave us out. So to be Belgian champion and also get the opportunity to play in the Ultimate Champions League is, I'll be a proud, and as a young player, I pray that things like this will come a lot in my way, and also just push it hard, and also ask for the prayers of Ghanaians in every endeavor, and also to the other players who couldn't have the chance to play in this. If you know whatever you want, you win, you just continue to press hard and also to work hard.
I think every player needs the support of his fans and their prayers. What message do you want to give to your fans?
I think it's almost getting to the end of the season and the 3 more wins and everything is fine. All I can say is that sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad, sometimes it was even worse, but they never stood against us. They just kept by our side. So all I can say that God bless them all and they should keep supporting us and also support us with prayers. And we pray that and hope that we're going to give all our best to be the champion of Belgium.
That's Frank Achampong, who plays for the Belgian club Anderlecht and Ghana's national football team. And Frank was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Brussels, Belgium. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you check it out today, Tuesday, you'll see a nice action photo of Frank Achampong taken last month by Associated Press photographer Dave Thompson during a UEFA Europa League quarterfinal match. Elsewhere, 2016 African Footballer of the Year Riyad Mahrez of Algeria celebrated his 100th English Premier League appearance over the weekend by scoring for Leicester City in a 3-0 win over Watford. Mahrez scored in the 58th minute when he broke free down the right side and slotted the ball between the legs of Watford's Brazilian goalkeeper, Aurelio Gomez. Mahrez is the first Algerian player to make 100 Premier League appearances. He has 6 goals this season for the Foxes of Leicester, who made a fairy tale run to their first Premier League title last season. This season, the Foxes are currently in 9th place with 43 points from 35 matches. The Blues of Chelsea are 1 win away from their 6th Premier League title after a 3-0 victory Monday over visiting Middlesbrough. The goals came from the Serbian Nemanja Matic and Spanish players Diego Costa and Marcos Alonso in a Chelsea attack orchestrated by another Spaniard, Cesc Fabregas. With 84 points, the Blues are 7 points clear of second-place Tottenham. Chelsea can clinch the trophy on Friday when they visit West Brom. The Baggies of West Brom are 1 position ahead of Leicester in 8th place, on the Premier League table. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
Ghana's international midfielder Sule Muntari is speaking out after being booked for complaining about racist abuse during an Italian league match and subsequently suspended. The 32-year-old Muntari plays for Pescara. During a match on April 30th at Cagliari, Muntari says he asked the referee to stop the match and requested that a warning be given to the crowd because of the racist chants from a group of Cagliari supporters. Instead, Sully Muntari was given a yellow card for dissent, and after walking off the pitch in protest, he was given a second yellow card, leading to an automatic one-match suspension. The ban was overturned on appeal last Friday. Sully Muntari said in the last week he's gone through hell and has been treated like a criminal. In Bahrain Tuesday, FIFA's Secretary General Fatma Samora, who is from Senegal, was asked by reporters if she had a message for Sully Muntari.
I don't have to call people any time that they have been victim of an abuse. We have a committee that is in charge of monitoring those actions, and the committee will take action. And we've been very severe in Europe, in Latin America. We've been regularly publicizing the action of the committee on every action that relates to race action, to homophobic chants, to any kind of discrimination. And once again, it is not the task force that is taking the action and that is fighting discrimination. They had a task to perform. They have made the recommendation, and FIFA went even beyond the four main recommendations. We have a monitoring tool on anti-discrimination. We have heavy sanction on every time that we have been receiving reports. I don't have to call individually people.
That's Fatma Samora, FIFA's first female secretary general. And she was speaking Tuesday in Bahrain, where top FIFA officials are gathering for their annual Congress. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, an update on the National Basketball Association playoffs. But first, some VOA programming announcements.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Tuesday night in San Antonio, Texas. That's where the San Antonio Spurs will host their Texas rival, the Houston Rockets, in Game 5 of their best-of-seven second-round series, which is tied at 2-2. I mentioned on Monday's show how the Spurs are without their veteran point guard, Tony Parker, who tore a muscle in his left leg during Game 2 of this series and will miss the rest of the playoffs. Well, the Rockets announced that their Brazilian big man, Nene, has also torn a muscle in his left leg and is out for the rest of the season. Houston coach Mike D'Antoni says Nene has been valuable for the Rockets all season. The big Brazilian has averaged about 10 points and 5 rebounds a game for Houston during the playoffs. The winner of the Houston-San Antonio series will play the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. The Warriors easily beat the host Utah Jazz Monday night, 121-95, to complete a 4-game sweep. Golden State has now won all 8 of its playoff games this season to move closer to what's looking more and more like another matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. The Cavaliers await the winner of the series between the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series is tied at 2-2 with Game 5 on Wednesday night in Boston. In Salt Lake City, Utah, on Monday night, Golden State's dynamic backcourt of Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson combined for 51 points to lead the high-powered Warriors offense. Curry scored a game-high 30 points, while Thompson tallied 21 points. Forward Gordon Hayward, who earned his first NBA All-Star Game appearance this year, led Utah with 25 points. At the post-game news conference, Hayward reflected on the season.
You know, I think we went into the season with the goal of getting into the playoffs. We've come short, you know, last two seasons before that, and we definitely accomplished that, winning the first round too. I think we gained valuable experiences that'll make us better as players moving forward. This is, you know, the first time for a lot of us, especially in the new roles that we had. And so I think in that regard, it was a successful season. I think you're still disappointed and frustrated. I mean, there's only one team that actually goes home happy. It's not going to be us this year. But with everything that we fought through and the adversity of guys being injured, key guys being injured, missing multiple games, missing, you know, long stretches of the season for guys to step up and play the way that they did, for us to still have the season that we did. I think it says a lot about our character. I think it just says a lot about who we are as people. We're fighters, and I'm thankful that I got a chance to play with these guys, and we had a great season because of that.
That's Utah Jazz All-Star Gordon Hayward, and he was speaking in Salt Lake City, where his club was eliminated by the Golden State Warriors in the NBA playoffs. Joining us once again is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you, as always.
Andrew, I understand a big NBA guy from Latvia is trending.
Absolutely. And all these stories are shocking moments. So that's our theme today, shocking moments.
Shocking moments.
Starting with, of course, the Latvian in the NBA, Kristaps Porzingis, star of the New York Knicks. Porzingis mysteriously tweeting out, just the tweet said LA Clippers and had 3 smiley face emojis with it. This was probably a shock to him that this went out publicly, and he quickly deleted the tweet and he claimed his account was hacked. But there's a lot of questions about what exactly this tweet meant. Now, Porzingis has had some frustration with the ownership in New York with the Knicks. Rumors have been swirling about a possible trade. And there's speculation that this may have been intended as a direct message on Twitter, and he may have accidentally, shockingly tweeted it out, much to his shock, tweeted it out to the public. He may have been messaging someone, the speculation is, that lives in Los Angeles, asking, when are you going to come out here, and saying, LA Clippers. So the thought is that maybe he wants to be traded to the LA Clippers. Maybe there's talks about trading him to the LA Clippers. But certainly a shock when he saw that showed up and had to kind of backtrack. Now, it's not sure his account could have been hacked, but this is the assumption people are making, that it wasn't hacked and it was actually an accidental direct message.
Andrew, what else will you shock us with this evening?
Well, a shock for Maria Sharapova and for Eugenie Bouchard, for that matter. Bouchard beating Sharapova at the Madrid Open. We talked about this when Sharapova was coming back, that Jeannie Bouchard, the Canadian, was one of her fiercest critics, said that Sharapova is a cheater and that there was no place for her in tennis after that doping ban. So it was kind of just desserts for Jeannie Bouchard, who beat her in a great match, just under 3 hours, three sets. Big match win for Bouchard. She looked a little shocked that she had won. She was very excited. In fact, she tweeted out a picture of the moment that she won with, you know, she's kind of screaming and really excited. And she writes, "How about that?" Which, how about that in internet parlance? A little shocking for Sharapova, too, on her so-called comeback tour, that she loses to somebody ranked 60th in the world who she's beaten in the past. And a little bit of an icy stare down at the post-match handshake that a lot of people talking about on social media. So a good shock for Jeannie Bouchard. She followed up her criticism of Maria Sharapova with a very big win there in Madrid.
Still a few weeks for Sharapova to improve her game ahead of the French Open.
Yeah, so we'll see if she can indeed do that. Still questions about whether she'll get a wild card entry into that, whether she'll have to qualify. So we'll have to monitor that. I believe the next week, a week from tomorrow, they should be announcing that.
Any other shocks out there, Andrew?
Yeah, big shock in Bahrain, where the FIFA Council is convening. Bangladeshi Mahfuza Akhtar Kiran won a seat on the FIFA Council designated for an Asian woman. She beat Moya Dodd of Australia, who was very widely expected to win that seat for another term. So that in and of itself was a shock. But another shock, after she won, Kiran was asked who won the most recent Women's World Cup, and she was unable to name the winner. First, she said North Korea, which didn't even make the top four in the Women's World Cup. And then she said Japan, the runner-up, before she finally got the right answer, which was the United States. This sparked some shocked responses from some big U.S. female soccer players. Carly Lloyd said that she voted for Moya Dodd, and she said this is very disappointing. Alex Morgan was a little less diplomatic. She says, "You have to be blanking kidding me." And that's what she tweeted out. She did put she didn't use any foul language. She put some stars over some letters to mask any bad words. But she said, "You got to be blanking kidding me." I said it's an embarrassment for FIFA. That's what a lot of fans are saying, that this woman who's been elected to the FIFA Council doesn't know who won the Women's World Cup. However, North Korea, who she said that was her first answer, North Korea did win the under-20 and the under-17 Women's World Cups in 2016. So some people trying to defend her saying, well, that was what she meant by saying that. So she did know who won the World Cup, but not the World Cup. It was the other one. But not good news for FIFA to have somebody on the council there that maybe can't name the winner of their most recent tournament.
Any other football shocks out there, Andrew?
Absolutely. Imagine for a moment you're walking down the street. You live in Iran. You're walking down the street, and who do you see? Lionel Messi. That would be a shock, wouldn't it? Well, that's the shock that a few people got in Iran this week. However, it was not Lionel Messi. It's a man named Reza Paresh. He is a Messi look-alike. You put the picture side by side, you almost can't tell which one is the real Messi and which one is the look-alike. But the internet is going crazy over this. He cuts his hair like Messi. He grew out his beard like Messi, and actually had to be escorted to a police station this week. And that's why he was in the news, because he was overrun with fans thinking he was the real deal. So, of course, I loved the tweets that said things get messy for a Lionel Messi look-alike. And the big question now on everyone's mind, will these two meet? And just imagining what will happen if you get these two guys in the same room that look alike, talking about maybe doing a switcheroo, maybe like a Prince and the Pauper kind of thing. Messi goes and hangs out and lives a regular life. This guy goes and plays football. I think it'd become pretty apparent pretty quickly that he wasn't the real deal, but a lot of attention on him. And if you look at the photos online, I saw that you put them up on Facebook. They do look really similar.
Amazing.
It's really astounding.
Amazing. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the May 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Trade and Development Agency recently awarded a grant to the Nigerian company Community Social Enterprises Limited, or CESEL, for a feasibility study supporting the rollout of 25 solar photovoltaic microgrids across Nigeria. Together, the microgrids will produce more than 5 megawatts. This project will help Nigeria to capitalize on its tremendous solar energy potential by scaling up the deployment of off-grid generation and mini-grid systems, ultimately increasing access to electricity. The study will focus on providing solar energy for rural and peri-urban communities that generally lack reliable access to electricity. The microgrid systems will operate on a pay-as-you-go structure, using mobile payments, with production and consumption monitored on a real-time basis. This structure will ensure payment and sustainability, as well as provide consistent, reliable power at a lower price than diesel generators. CESEL selected the U.S. firm Renuvia Energy Corporation to conduct the feasibility study. The project presents opportunities for U.S. businesses to make sales in solar PV modules, batteries, electrical equipment, control systems, and meters across Nigeria. We are proud to connect CESEL with a leading U.S. company on this important project to expand energy access in Nigeria, said Lida Fitz, the U.S. Trade and Development Agency's Regional Director for Sub-Saharan Africa. We're delighted to be selected as technical services partner for this project with CESEL, said Trey Jared, CEO of Renuvia. We look forward to continuing development of solar microgrids in sub-Saharan Africa, and we're excited to play such an important role in helping to advance Nigeria's support for off-grid power. The grant was signed by the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, John Bray, and Dr. Patrick Tolani of CESEL. This project advances the goals of Power Africa to increase electricity connections and power generation. The U.S. Trade and Development Agency helps companies create U.S. jobs through the export of U.S. goods and services for priority development projects in emerging economies. USTDA links U.S. businesses to export opportunities by funding project planning activities, pilot projects, and reverse trade missions while creating sustainable infrastructure and economic growth in partner countries. The United States is proud to work with its partner Nigeria and the private sector to help meet the energy needs of the Nigerian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, I am your host Shaka Sali. Every Wednesday night, Trade Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the future of sub-Saharan Africa's development lies in the hands of its youth. In her new book, Ambassador Robin Renee Sanders says growth and progress is being driven by small and medium-sized enterprises. That's on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.